Thank you, John Guy, and blessing. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from The Voice of America on Tuesday, April 28th, 2015. Thanks for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande.
And I'm Jonga Kandemiri.
Here are our top stories this evening.
Police and anti-Mugabe protesters have clashed at the venue of the Southern African Development Community Extraordinary Summit in Harare.
As Zimbabwean citizens, we only want to have reforms. We say no to elections without reforms. So we want to have reforms first, then we go to election.
About 100 employees of the National Railways of Zimbabwe in Mutare today staged a peaceful demonstration over unpaid salaries dating back to June last year.
We're particularly happy and excited about the improved foreign participation. There is a fair amount of excitement from the foreign contingent.
And the 56th edition of the Zimbabwe International Trade Fair opened today, running under the theme, Stimulating Trade, Seizing Opportunities to Accelerate Growth.
Police and anti-Mugabe protesters clashed at the venue of the Southern African Development Community Extraordinary Summit in Harare today as leaders of the regional bloc started trooping in for the heads of states and government meeting that starts in the capital tomorrow. Thomas Chiripasi has more details from Harare.
More than 200 people gathered at the corner of Jason Moyo Street and Julius Nyerere Way and marched to a local hotel where the SADC summit is taking place, holding placards denouncing President Robert Mugabe. The protesters were led by the MDCT National Youth Leader, Hepimo Chidziva. Some of the placards read, and I quote, "SADC, we want free and fair elections in Zimbabwe." When the protesters arrived at Miku's hotel, anti-riot police then pounced on the protesters, resulting in the demonstrators running in different directions, leaving their placards at the entrance of the hotel. Some of the SADC delegates came out of the hotel to read the placards and also witnessed the police pouncing on the protesters. Moments later, some police officers were assaulted by another group of demonstrators near the MDCT Service House headquarters, resulting in the police maintaining a heavy presence at the opposition's headquarters all day long. However, employees of the opposition party were not distracted from their daily duties by the police presence. One of the protesters, James Mukwaira, told Studio 7 that the demonstration was meant to take the Zimbabwean crisis to the doorstep of the SADC leaders. Some of the protesters held placards demanding that SADC also takes action on last month's disappearance of pro-democracy activist Itai Dzamara.
As Zimbabwean citizens, we only want to have reforms. We say no to elections without reforms. So we want to have reforms first, then we go to election. We want one man's vote. We want a biometric where everyone has to vote with a fingerprint. To the SADC leaders, I think they have to talk to President Mugabe and his entire team to do the reforms first, then we go to election. Or else, if they don't want to do the reforms, we will remove Mugabe with any means, which is he is looking for.
Another demonstrator, Matthew Manomano, urged the SADC leaders to take action on President Robert Mugabe, whom he accused of playing a major role in the alleged manipulation of previous elections. Manomano said, Zimbabwe is far from being called a democratic state.
There's no democracy. Like what you're seeing here, there's police in the office of the opposition party first. It shows that there's no democracy here. On top of that, there is poverty. Most of the people in Zimbabwe, they are living under the bottom line of poverty.
Wilfred Nyamanindi said SADC should not remain mum when foreign nationals were being butchered in South Africa in what is now commonly known as xenophobia. The Jacob Zuma administration has responded to the xenophobic attacks by deploying the army in the streets across the Limpopo.
The SADC leader, he must help us in this crisis. for what? For not dictatorship, for free and fair election, for everyone to be free.
Meanwhile, Zambian President Edgar Lungu, who is expected to officiate at the Zimbabwe International Trade Fair in Bulawayo on Thursday, is among some of the SADC leaders that have already jetted into the country for the summit. The SADC summit is being held under the theme Regional Strategy and Roadmap for Industrialization. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Thomas Chiripasi.
Thank you, Thomas. Meanwhile, young Zimbabweans are calling for the leaders of the Southern African Development Community to move swiftly in promoting initiatives that will effectively boost job creation within the region and assist youth and Zimbabwe in curbing unemployment. Reporter Tatenda Gumbo speaks to Wellington Zindove, director of the Zimbabwe Youth Forum, who says there is need for a cohesive effort to tap into region-wide resources to boost job creation.
Now, just to be cautious again, to say, I think these platforms have been coming in and out for quite a long time now, but really without, the citizens of SADC. But I think Zimbabweans should be patient, but also be worried that I think the economic recovery process is taking quite, a very long journey.
And looking at this issue of industrialization in Zimbabwe, there are some who are saying even if this were to be the move, there are so many challenges that the country is facing. What's your take on that, particularly looking at the issue of power and infrastructure?
That's one of the obvious challenges that the country is facing. Look at infrastructure, power, and so forth. And I think we have been watching with a lot of interest the deals that, have been reported about the Russians, the Chinese, and also, the so-called delegations of investors coming to Zimbabwe to see if they are going to be able to, turn around some of these key economic, enablers. But I think, it's kind of quite very snail-paced from the look of things.
That was Wellington Zindove, director of the Zimbabwe Youth Forum, speaking to Studio 7, Tatenda Gumbo from Harare.
About 100 employees of the National Railways of Zimbabwe in Mutare today staged a peaceful demonstration over unpaid salaries dating back to June last year and vowed to continue the industrial action until the company management gives in to their demands. At the Parastatals headquarters in Bulawayo, the workers downed their tools for 2 hours and vowed that they were going to continue with the protest until management also is ousted. Union workers said they were not going to go on a full-fledged strike as this would cripple the already ailing Parastatal, but would go on the 2-hour strike from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. every day. NRZ spokesman Fanuel Masikati denied that poor management was to blame for the company's financial woes, but laid the blame squarely on the closure of companies.
What is happening is nothing. We are trying everything within our means as management and members to try and, pay whatever we can. But the challenge is that the performance of the economy, as well as also, that in the most industries have shut down, and we only generate our revenue from, moving cargo.
But Mr. Masikati, one would argue that the NRZ is a monopoly. How come it's facing all these problems?
Since 1997, following the deregulation of the transport industry, where many players were allowed to also operate, provide the transport, it appears where there's no monopoly anymore.
That was National Railways of Zimbabwe spokesman Fanuel Masigati. He spoke to Studio 7 on the line from Bulawayo. Deputy Chairman of the Southern Region of the Zimbabwe Congress of Trade Unions, Ambrose Mlilo, tells Studio 7 the Parastatal is riddled with corruption.
Well, the truth of the matter is that the National Railways of Zimbabwe was one of the most respected organizations or companies in Zimbabwe. But at the moment, we are finding a situation whereby workers go to work and they are not getting their pay. They've gone on 16, they've gone on demonstrations, but nothing has happened. And as such, workers have got no choice just to embark on this industrial election. Mind you, the same workers have got children who are supposed to go to school. next week schools will be opening. How do they pay their fees? And the same workers again have got to buy food for their families.
But what can you say about the financial squeeze that the National Railways of Zimbabwe finds itself in when it is a monopoly in the railway sector?
You may discover that some of those big lorries which are carrying goods, they belong to certain high-ranking officials in Zimbabwe who are even some of them part of the government. And we are saying this could be a deliberate plan to say that let's make sure that they use their own companies to make profits at the expense of railways. And the site workers are finding themselves in this dilemma.
Ambrose Mlilo is the deputy chairman of the Zimbabwe Congress of Trade Unions Western Region. He spoke to Studio 7 on the line from Bulawayo.
The 56th edition of the Zimbabwe International Trade Fair, or ZITF, opened today, running under the theme Stimulating Trade, Seizing Opportunities to Accelerate Growth. The fair this year, with 404 direct exhibitors, recorded a 2% growth compared to 2014. There were 396 such exhibitors last year. Studio 7's Gibbs Dube has more details.
ZITF Chairman Bekitemba Nkomo told journalists in Bulawayo that they are happy with the level of participation at the trade showcase.
We're particularly happy and excited about the improved foreign participation. There is a fair amount of excitement from the foreign contingent. This year we have 19 nations that are participating at trade fair, comparable to last year's 18. But out of those 19 nations that are participating, we have 31 direct exhibitors versus 27 as of last year.
He said foreign exhibitors include Cyprus and Japan, which is participating for the first time after a long absence.
Two notable appearances this year is Cyprus. Cyprus is here with us for the first time ever. We're glad that we could make it. The other one is Switzerland. Switzerland is with us this year after a long period of absence, probably about 20 years or so, that they haven't been with us, but they are back with us. And interestingly, both countries have brought to us universities, and they're exhibiting under the Scholastica banner. The Embassy of Japan has also come back to the exhibition after some absence.
American Eustit Meyer, who is among foreigners attending this year's event, held a meeting with local and international tourism experts in which attendants exchanged ideas on how to attract visitors. One of the attendants, Edward Soteling, said they are always looking for better ways of attracting international tourists. He said people who normally attend such meetings always come back to Zimbabwe.
People come for a conference, they see for the first time how beautiful Zimbabwe is, and they say, hey, this is interesting. I must come back with my family for a family holiday.
The ZITF will be officially opened Thursday by Zambian President Edgar Lungu at the showgrounds, where President Robert Mugabe is also expected to grace the occasion. Reporting for Studio 7 in Washington, D.C., this is Gibbs Dube.
Meanwhile, political and economic commentator Masimba Kuchera tells Studio 7 it is unlikely that any deals will be penned at the end of the ZITF due to the continued company closures.
I think at face value it's a very good development that we've had a 4% increase. But when we look deeper, you'll find that not many of the Zimbabwean companies are able to exhibit as a trade fair due to the economic challenges that the country is facing. Therefore, you then have a lot of foreign companies, either from the continent or from overseas, coming to the trade fair. Most of these people will actually be coming as tourists and holiday makers and not necessarily to conduct any meaningful business. So at face value, it's good that the numbers are increasing, but the value of the trade is what we should be concerned about, not the number of direct exhibitors that are coming. Because for a trade fair, what we need to understand is that it's an opportunity for the companies within that country to showcase what they are capable of.
That was economic commentator Masimba Kuchera of the Center for Disability and Development speaking with Studio 7 from Harare.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington.
Studio 7 can be found on the 4930, 5930 and 15455 kilohertz shortwave frequencies. We also broadcast on 909 medium wave or AM frequency.
Coming up,
a closer look at the SADC strategic industrialization plan.
And the Harare International Festival of the Arts, HIFA, kicks off. Stay tuned for more details.
But first, a look at regional and international news.
An engineer with parents living in Zimbabwe is among thousands of foreigners stranded in Nepal, which was hit by a massive earthquake a few days ago that claimed the lives of over 4,000 people. Newman, who holds a German passport and was educated at Zimbabwe's Gifford High School in Bulawayo, tells Studio 7's Gibbs Duve he's safe, though worried about the current situation in that country.
Well, look, it's not bad. I mean, things are improving all the time now. But, you know, in Kathmandu, we were not hit so badly as the outlying areas. You know, people coming here are, like, surprised at the condition that Kathmandu is in. You know, they thought it would be flattened, but it's not. It's the old buildings and the temples and the beautiful wooden structures that have been damaged. But the houses, not so much. Just the perimeter walls, badly built walls, those have sort of fallen down. But the houses, some cracks here, but not what you would expect of a city that's been hit by two big earthquakes.
So where exactly are you, Mike?
I'm working in Kathmandu. Well, I'm in Kathmandu now, in the sort of northern part, inside the ring road, close to the American Embassy in a guest house. But my usual place of work is on the what used to be the Nepal-Tibet border. I guess now you call it the Nepal-Chinese border.
How is the situation there right now? Are you receiving any aid?
Very bad. Very bad, very bad. I've been in touch with the guys, but, you know, the normal GSM network is down, so I can only speak to them very erratically on what's called a CDMA network. And it's a network that was developed by the army years ago in Nepal here that works in the hilly areas and the difficult-to-reach areas.
So how many of your workers are actually affected by this earthquake?
220 Chinese guys on the project. And they've got about 500 Nepali workers.
So now, are you the only person with Zimbabwean roots who is actually in Nepal right now?
That I can't tell you. I don't even think Zim has an embassy here. You know, but certainly the company I work for, SMEC, Snowy Mountain Engineering Corporation, it's mostly Australians.
That was Michael Newman, an engineer with parents living in Zimbabwe. He was speaking with Studio 7 from Kathmandu, Nepal.
UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon is sending a special envoy to Burundi, where the president's decision to run for a third term has sparked 3 days of sometimes violent street protests.
The eruption of violence in the U.S. city of Baltimore on Monday was not condoned by the family of the young African-American man at the center of the protests.
Indonesia is making final preparations for the execution of 9 convicted drug traffickers, including 8 foreigners, despite fierce protests from international rights groups and world leaders.
And Supreme Court arguments are underway in Washington on whether gay and lesbian couples have a constitutional right to marry throughout the United States, with initial questioning showing the justices split along familiar, conservative, and liberal lines.
The Southern African Development Community, or SADC, leaders meeting in an extraordinary summit in Harare are tomorrow expected to endorse the regional industrialization strategy and roadmap. The decision to formulate a SADC strategy and roadmap on industrialization was reached at the 34th SADC Heads of State and Government Summit held in Victoria Falls last year, with the aim of enhancing the region's capacity to benefit from its natural resources. chairperson of the SADC Council of Ministers and Zimbabwean Foreign Affairs Minister Simbarashe Mbengegui, says the roadmap outlines, among other objectives, challenges, interventions, as well as programs, outcomes, and key performance indicators under the three core pillars of the strategy, namely industrialization, competitiveness, and regional integration.
A SADC Executive Secretary Stagomena Lawrence Tex said, once approved by SADC leaders, the strategy will set the region's path to industrialization and socio-economic prosperity. But with Zimbabwe's industrial capitalization headed south, how is Zimbabwe going to benefit? To discuss this issue, Studio 7's Blessing Zulu reached Chief Economist Prosper Chitambara of the Labour and Economic Development Institute. Prosper Chitambara and Zimbabwe National Chamber of Commerce Vice President Davison Norupiri. Norupiri believes in Harare will benefit immensely.
I think it's very important to Zimbabwe, and it's actually going to help this economy. Because if you look at it now, we have got quite a number of issues whereby we are not getting full value of our resources. I saw saying I'm actually highlighting on the issue of exporting raw material. We are exporting quite a number of products in raw form as compared to selling them or to beneficiate them. So as a result, we are actually exporting commodities and products at a very low market rate or at very low prices. Simply they will be in form of raw material. So if we are to industrialize, if we are to actually add value to these commodities like minerals and quite a number of our natural resources.
Mr. Chitambara, can Zimbabwe benefit from this SADC industrialization roadmap?
It can benefit, I think, depending also on the levels of political will and commitment to address the structural issues that are affecting industrialization. Mind you, in 1980, just after independence, Zimbabwe inherited the second most diversified industrial sector in sub-Saharan Africa. It's a sector that has been built on clear import substitution industrialization policies that were implemented by the Rhodesian government. So I think what is very, very important is for our leadership to be very, very committed. And by committed, it's not just committed in word, but also committed in deed.
Mr. Norupiri, yep. This is a concern to many SADC citizens that leaders have been talking and they have not been walking the talk. What is different now?
I think now everyone is beginning to realize that we now need to start implementing, whereby if you look at even the president of Zimbabwe himself, he has been going around even in the African Union summit. He actually highlighted the issue of beneficiation. And now in the SADC region, it has been highlighted again by the president. It looks like some of the leaders who didn't have that in mind before are now buying the idea. So as a result, I'm sure our SADC leaders now, they are actually very serious about the issue because there is a serious economic decline within the SADC region. We have got quite a number of countries whereby some countries, they are actually turning themselves into warehouses or supermarkets of other countries. So this imbalance is the one which has got to be addressed by the issue of industrialization, which I strongly believe now. If you look or if you listen at some of the speeches being done by our SADC regional leaders within their own countries, they are actually highlighting and singing exactly the same song of industrialization. So personally, I think our leaders are now very serious about it and they are ready and prepared to implement.
Mr. Chitambara, is it not ironic that SADC leaders are meeting in Harare and the citizens are fighting on the streets of Johannesburg and Durban?
Yeah, I think it's quite ironic. And it also goes to show the levels of the unevenness actually in terms of development within the region. I think that's the problem again now, that there are two different levels of economic development. So what has tended to happen is that citizens from less developed countries have been flooding to South Africa.
That was Chief Economist Prof. Chitambara of the Labour and Economic Development Institute of Zimbabwe. You also heard from National Chamber of Commerce Vice President Davidson Norupiri. The two spoke with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare. The roadmap spans over a period of 48 years.
The Harare Festival of the Arts, or HIFA, rode into life in Harare today, with over 1,000 international artists expected to jet into the country for the annual extravaganza. Some of the artists expected are from South Africa, where xenophobic attacks have gripped the nation and threatened relations between African nations. But HIFA's Tafazwa Simba tells Studio 7's Marvelous Mhlanga Nyawiye this will not affect the annual event.
We are expecting roughly the same number of artists from all over the world. The average total we've had over the last couple of years is about 1,100 or 1,200. We expect the same to come through this year. We'll have final numbers after the festival.
What are some of the major highlights for this year's HIFA? What can attendees look forward to?
There's a great plethora of things to see at HIFA. And for those who are HIFA veterans, there are favorites that they'll be able to see, such as the spoken word section, which is hosted by Hevos. In a new venue this year, the Poetry Lab. The opening show, obviously, is the marquee offering by the festival, which is going to be anchored by Mokomba, and it will involve artists from all over the world. And then there will be a five-hour Sonic Wonderland show with a five-hour electronic dance music extravaganza on Saturday.
That was Tafazwa Simba of HIFA speaking to Studio 7's Marvelous Mhlanga Nyawiye from Harare.
Stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. when Youth Connection hosts will be talking with listeners and experts about the impact of the SADC Summit's Regional Strategic Development Plan on young people.
To join the discussion, text us at 001-202-465-0318 so we can call you back from our studios.
And now to recap today's top stories.
Police and Andy Mugabe protesters have clashed at the venue of the Southern African Development Community Extraordinary Summit in Harare.
About 100 employees of the National Railways of Zimbabwe in Mutare today staged a peaceful demonstration over unpaid salaries dating back to June last year.
And the 56th edition of the Zimbabwe International Trade Fair opened today, running under the theme Stimulating Trade, Seizing Opportunities to Accelerate Growth.
That's our broadcast this evening.
Join us at 7 every evening for news in three languages and visit us on the internet at www.studio7news.com for more on our top stories. You can send us an email to studio7@voanews.com or text us at the following number, 001-202-465-0318.
Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Chris Gande in Washington, D.C.
And I'm Jonga Kandemiri, wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night.